This is episode 147 of Drunk on Comics, the Grill Masters Talk Daredevil, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com and Motor City Comic Con.
Maybe. Did you?
That's how you want to start it?
Sure. I can't think of anything else. Daredevil. I know that would get you talking, but that'd be the whole fucking podcast.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know we were quite ready.
Oh, you didn't know we were recording?
Well, I know. I
kind of just do this.
It's totally different than last week, because last week was much later in the evening. Yes. For us to record. Today's a little earlier in the day, so it's, yeah. Holy shit. Hey, I'm Derek.
I'm Tony.
This is Drunk on Comics. That was the worst intro to a show ever.
Yeah. Hopefully you're still listening.
We're setting new lows, the Drunk on Comics style. But anyway, guys, welcome to the show. This is where we get together, we drink some beer, act like, you know, stupid little idiots, and talk about comic books, conventions, some industry news. Occasionally, we haven't had a collecting tip in forever. Although, I kind of have one today.
Well, that's good. But I'm sure they want to hear if you got a grill or not. I mean, that's how we started this off. They're going to be in suspense for now.
Huh? Yeah, there's a new grill. There's a new grill over at my girlfriend's house.
I'm sure they don't really care. So
that's why I was like, "Why the fuck are you asking that?"
But I didn't have anything else to talk about. Like, it's been a week.
All right. Well, let's make it not an week and get into Off the Shelf, which is brought to you by Motor City Comic Con, which is happening May 15, 16, and 17. I don't like doing the inths at the end of it this week for some reason.
All right.
Whatever. Shut up. Motor City Comic Con happening in Novi, Michigan at the Suburban Collection Showplace. If you guys are fans of the Walking Dead TV show, you should go, because I think 114% of their cast is there now.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, there's people that are there that aren't in the cast, but probably could be at some point.
Or there's people that are going to be dead that aren't yet.
If they're on the show, they're all going to be dead.
I know, but it's just, they're already Walking Dead.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, wow, it's like the title. It's not even like talking about the zombies. It means like the people.
Yeah.
Like the people that are alive.
They're the scary ones.
Yeah. But, oh, okay, I wasn't planning on reviewing Walking Dead this week, but did you read it this week yet?
No, I didn't.
Holy shit.
Really?
Yeah, a little twist I wasn't expecting.
All right, well.
That's all I'll say about it, so. I'm not going to go into it, because I had no intention of reviewing it, but...
Okay. I won't even ask questions.
No, go ahead.
Is it Scott Michonne in it?
Yes.
Okay. Is it following more of that, or is it following Carl?
There's, like, three primary different storylines going on right now.
Okay.
One's with Carl following the Whispers. Mm-hmm. One is Maggie... like the dude that was running town,
poisoned and all that shit.
Poisoned her. There's that story. And then there's Michonne coming back into town, and then there's a fourth thing that happens at the end that I was like, wait, what? And so that's, honestly, it put a little bit of fear back into the comic, which I like. I'm uncomfortable now. Damn it, I don't like it. Like, I like the action, I like the suspense, but I don't like, my asshole puckered when I saw the last page of that. Like, oh, I don't like this. So, all right, Tony, you want me to kick it off this week?
Sure.
All right, let's see. I got to get my books in order. All right. I talked about issue one last month, and the general rule is I try not to talk about issue twos, but when they're... When issue two is even better than issue one, I don't really feel like I have a choice. And so what I'm talking about this week is Descender number 2 from Image Comics. This is written by Jeff Lemire, and the art is by Dustin Nguyen. Letters and are by Steve Wands. And Tony, I kind of filled you in on this. The story is a futuristic world where robots are you know, part of the everyday life. They're servant robots all over. Well, there was this Tim model, which was a human companion, and it's a child. And you saw that there was some devastation that happened, and now people are really searching out these Tim bots for whatever, you know, reason. I don't want to get...
Now I'm starting to think
are you thinking about Tim
Hortons? Yeah,
Timbits. Yeah, let's go to Timmy Ho's. That's actually kind of why I said Timbots, because I had donuts today. But this issue centers entirely around the Tim 21, who is the Tim robot in our story that we first met in issue 1. And it jumps back and forth between present and when he was introduced to his family on this mining colony.
And I can't remember. He was introduced before the giant world destroyer people, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And what they found out was that in issue 1 is that that world destroyer, it was created based off of a Tim model. And that was where the original coding came from. So this one, this particular issue, I think the reason that it struck me so much is that you see this robot who has been built to learn human emotion. And its goal is to learn how to be more human. And it's creepy because it's in a child's body, basically. And so you know in the back of your mind, this is a robot, but you see the family getting attached. Like, they have a birthday party for him, you know, which was 1 year after he arrived. And, you know, they're like, you're part of the family, and the mom kisses him on the forehead before he goes to bed. And it's just like, it's a little creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, this robot wants to be human at the same time. It's like the programming is so good that it has a desire. I don't know why that disturbs me so much.
See, every time, like when you were reviewing this the first time, I kept thinking of two specific movies. One, Centennial Man, Robin Williams, where he becomes human at the end, pretty much. And then AI, with the little kid from Sixth Sense. Like, that's what I keep picturing this kid is, but seeing dead people and also wanting to be the human part of the Robin Williams. And so, I don't know, for part of me, I'm just like imagining, like, there's also these giant, like, Galactus destroyer things. I want to know more about them. Fuck Tim.
Well, this issue keeps jumping back and forth, and I want to say Dustin Nguyen did a really beautiful job on it. And it even starts out really nice on the very first page where you see some color in the background, but you see these little black and white gray wash panels. And anything that's in gray wash in this is a memory. It's accessing the memory banks in here. And I don't know if I mentioned this or not before, but Tony, like this image here on the third page at the top where you're seeing Tim being constructed, and you see the, like, it has a face, but it's definitely a robotic head and all that. It hasn't fully finished. I think one of the reasons that I attach to this so much is that it reminds me a lot of Battle Angel. I made you watch that.
Yeah, it actually did kind of look, yeah.
Yeah, that's just kind of, you know, and I don't know. I grew attached to that one, too, for a similar reason. But Nguyen's art in this is just beautiful. I mean, it's all painted. And, you know, I hadn't been super familiar with his artwork up until a couple years ago when my now girlfriend actually brought me one of his prints from New York Comic Con. And I do have to give her credit because she schlepped that thing all over Manhattan. And I don't remember if she shipped it back or if she carried it back on the plane with her. But that thing, apparently my print went to like the art museum and all other kinds of stuff. But I'll show you the print sometime. It's absolutely gorgeous.
So like you, it got around.
Yeah. I'm glad you said like me. but anyway, yeah, this book, absolutely gorgeous to look at. And then Jeff Lemire has some of the best pacing in here, jumping back and forth between the present time and the memories. Present time, memories, present time. It's not heavy-handed, which can, like, when you have that something that's heavily flashback, a lot of times it's kind of like, here's your flashback, open up, blah, blah, blah. It's like, here, I don't know which one I want to read more of, the current or the past. And I like the mix that you know, these creators have done in here. Fantastic book all around. And it's kind of, it's hard to talk about too much without giving stuff away. And I don't want people to know about this because the journey that Descender takes you on is unlike any other book I've read in a long time. There is one particular part that I want to point out, which for us, kind of for us being the comic book nerds we are, this one hits home. When Tim first goes to the planet and meets his little brother Andy or whatever, in one of the flashback scenes, Andy is asking Tim if he's read his favorite book, Trinket Tocket and His Tin Rocket. And it's like a comic book type thing. I mean, it's actually a book, but it's, you know, got pictures and stuff in it. And Tim basically says, no, I'm not familiar with it, but I can download all of them, from the server for you if you like. And Andy's response was, now my mom still gets them for me in hard copy. I love reading them like this. The drawings look better. And I don't know why that's in there, except for the fact that, I question whether or not it's actually kind of a comment on how comics are changing, or if it's one of those things for people like me that still cling to paper. And whenever you look at those, Bronze Age, Silver Age, Golden Age comic books, the smell of that newsprint, there is something there that you can't replicate. So it was a nice touch to make you have a connection with this little boy who's now dead. Mm-hmm. But, whether or not it's a comment on the comic book industry, I don't know. But I really loved seeing that in there. It kind of just brought it home. Amazing, amazing story by these guys. So you guys, you could actually jump in on issue two if you can't find number one, but you could download them from the server, because if you're listening to us, obviously you have access to the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my book for this week for Off the Shelf.
All right. Well, with sad news, I have to speak and pour one out for my homie. Review Deadpool 250, a.k.a. number 45 in this series. And I really don't know if the 250 actually fits lined up with the way Deadpool has run, but it sounds like a good ending number.
Well, here's my question. Does it count? I'm wondering what issues they count, because if they're counting the Deadpool Kills series, if they're calling all the Deadpool like team-ups, if they're counting all those, then 250 could have happened just from books this year,
because mm-hmm.
Deadpool is in everything.
So, well, I've been wondering that with these larger numbers too, because Fantastic Four recently, because that book's going to end soon too. They started over with the whole all new issue 1 through 12, but then they started going back to 642 or 6 whatever they're at now, which was their. One of the big bitches back then of, oh my God, they're changing or they're starting over at number one, when we were talking about all the books doing number one. So that, at least
everybody loves number ones, Tony. Yeah.
So at least Fantastic Four, I knew, was kind of going with their old numbering. Deadpool, not so sure, but yeah, as you said, it could have happened a long time ago. briefly, I'm going to touch not on the main storyline, but some of the other ones. There are just too many people on this. I'm just going to kind of name off some names within this whole book. Drucker, Giovanetti, Scheer, Ackerman, Blacker, Kolek.
Which Blacker? Both of them? Is it Blacker and Blacker?
It's Acker and Blacker, yep.
Acker and Blacker, that's what it is, yeah.
Selman, Chabot, Corsa, Posehn, and Dugan, Hawthorne, Pallet, like Jordy Belair on colors, VC's Joe Sabino. There's, like, because this book is one of those ending books, they have all these other little small stories, which was a little unsettling when I just saw him die, but then, oh, and here's some other things that happened in his life. Kind of like a, I don't know, memorial or remembrance. And within these ones, I have to say they were really well done. They're taking different points in his life or different people that he has become close with, such as Kid Apocalypse, Evan, and having a fun story with him. Having his wife, what's her name, Shikala.
It's funny that he has a relationship with Kid Apocalypse when Phantom X had the relationship. Does Kid Apocalypse only like people that wear the masks?
I feel so. Well, and it's because he was part of the X-Force team.
He should have killed him. Anyway, yeah.
You know, another fun, you know, one with the Thing. And then one of the funnier of the stories was the roast of Deadpool and seeing people of the Marvel Universe.
Who wrote that one, do you know?
Which one?
The roast of Deadpool?
Let's see.
Sorry, I know that there's like 8 million.
That's not that one. Nope, not sure, because, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to, like, you know, drop that one on you, like, unexpectedly. I was just kind of curious. Cause,
yeah, and it is kind of hard, because when these just go back to back, you got to look up the title, then look up at the page. So this book, $9.99... Always we got to bitch about price points. With as much content and as much as I laughed with it, was I feel it was worth the $10 book. If you like Deadpool, you're going to enjoy this book for the extras that are in here. You're also going to love it for the actual main story, which, I mean, this is a thick book, and the main story took almost half the book.
So probably probably like maybe a 40 to 48 page story.
Yeah. And it ties up a lot of...
Okay, who did the main story?
Posehn and Dugan.
Okay, and who did art on that one?
Hawthorne.
Okay. Sorry, there's just so many, I'm trying to keep it straight.
Now, Deadpool in this run has killed the ex-presidents of the United States ghosts, has gotten married, has... found out he's had a kid.
Who did he get married?
Remembers that giant issue with the Guinness Book World. Shikala. She's the queen of Monster Metropolis.
Okay.
World. Found out he had a kid. So he's
is this kid an asshole too?
No, it's actually just a cute little girl, and it's one of those weird things of like. Yeah, all this is like, Deadpool has such a huge, origin of all the shit that's gone bad in his life. And towards the end of this run, you see him finally kind of getting a conscience. He's also was Zenpool during the whole Axis thing.
Who?
Zenpool is what they called him. He became like a pacifist. Because with the Axis, when people, their alignment switched.
Okay, gotcha.
You know, he was kind of like, I don't really want to fight her. I don't want to do this, and killing's bad. And it was after that that you saw him have something happen in his head where he just didn't want to kill anymore, which caused some strife with his wife, because his wife was kind of like, what's wrong with you? You like blood. I'm a monster queen. Blood's good. But it all comes back down to his daughter and realizing he needs to protect his family, which is what this whole entire book is. So there's still stuff that is going on where you're kind of like, I wish I would have known more. I wish I would have known more of his daughter in that relationship before he died. I wish I would have known, you know, this and that. But this book fucking has a lot of blood. There are people just dying left and right from the ending where he pretty much gets this entire anti-SHIELD group called Ultimatum.
Now, you're not going to give away anything on this one, are you?
Not so much, except for, like, people are dying left and right. Factions are coming out. The old ladies of the Civil War are coming to take out. Like, the Shriners comes out, and he decapitates all of them. Like, just all these zany things that only would be going after Deadpool. And him just, like, blowing people's heads off.
Oh, now that one, wow.
Yeah.
That okay, it's one thing to see a hole blown in somebody's head, but and be able to see an image through it with the guy that's sitting there. But it's the teeth in the bottom jaw that really just, oh god.
Yeah, man. And that's where this book, that is Deadpool. He did not leave a single person alive that could hurt his family. That was his big thing that he wanted to do, is make sure.
So he knew he was going to die? Is that what the...
Not even so. And that's where this whole him dying thing threw me for a loop. I'm still looking, how the fuck's he going to die? What's going to happen? How is this? To kind of give it away, it is what you expected.
Okay, here's where I'm going to tell people, if you don't want to know, jump ahead like a minute from now. And we'll. So, Tony, you got 60 seconds to spoil away.
Okay, so... It's not what you think. Not only did he die, so did the entire world. He died because of the, I'm forgetting the word, incursion.
Mm-hmm.
That's how Wade Wilson dies. Not by any other thing.
So everybody died?
Pretty much so. They're out on a boat. They're kind of just saying how his life.
What world was he on?
The main world. So where this book's story is taking place is right before Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are going to have an incursion, I guess, with our world. And so he's not dead. Well, everyone's dead. So therefore, he's going to get brought back to life.
So this is just another way to sell a $10 comic book.
Pretty much so. That's where I was like, that's interesting. I guess that is kind of the only way you could kill him. However, it didn't leave me as satisfied as I wanted it to. I wanted to have there be... like a death of Wolverine. Like,
all right. And.
Now that we can't speak about how he died anymore, I can only say that it was an interesting choice. Okay. And, yeah. Like I said, though, now you hearing that, you wouldn't have thought that's how it would have ended.
Well, no, but this gives me a great idea, Tony.
Okay, and what is that?
Like, we should plan for the week after, like, C2E2,
mm-hmm.
the death of Drunk on Comics. And then we'll have some memorial podcasts for a couple weeks. And then when we appear at Motor City, it will be Drunk on Comics all new number one.
I could see us doing that. No, I could say I can see us doing that. Now, us actually doing that, it takes time and...
It'd be like if we had like a contest where we had to come up with the questions before the podcast, like, you know.
No. I enjoyed that he now kind of, he became happy. That was the big sense of this last story arc, was him realizing he never was truly happy. Whether it was being the Zen Pool, whether it was just being a father, whether it was this and that, he realized he needs to protect those that he loves. And that would make him happy if they were safe. So to see that he was finally happy was kind of a cool thing to see with Deadpool. But it's just the last line, too. I can live with this finale. And if I'm going out, at least I'm taking everyone with me. And kind of like, okay. So I can live with that ish right now until he comes back in Secret Wars, which I know he is. So,
of course he will.
So but... Deadpool is not dead. Deadpool lives.
Cool. Tony, this is totally off the subject.
All right.
But, okay. Blue Moon ice cream.
Oh, yeah, that's nowhere even close of what the subject was. Okay, yeah.
No, well, this is part of news and notes. This is a fucking note.
Okay.
So that was off the shelf, brought to you by MotorCityComicCon.com. News and notes. Blue Moon ice cream. What flavor is it?
Superman.
What flavor is Superman?
Blue Moon.
Superman and Blue Moon are different.
Yeah, but it tastes like Superman. Well, that's but Superman is supposed to be what? Orange, yellow, and blue tasting?
Yeah. So you're saying that they're like that it should taste like blue?
Yeah.
All right, well, apparently Hudsonville Ice Cream agrees with you. And I took a picture of this last night at the grocery store and tweeted it out. Blue Moon is sky blue ice cream with a blue flavor to match. What the fuck is a blue flavor?
It's part of what Superman ice cream tastes like.
All right. Anyway, you know me. I get drunk and want to talk about stupid shit. So
it's all right.
All right. That was my note. Should we jump into news or do we want to jump someplace else first?
News. Well, like we really ever jump anyplace else besides news. But we could do Best on Tap this week because we haven't done that in forever.
We do have the Best on Tap this week. And, Tony, are you ready for it?
Not really because my fucking computer's going slow. Are you?
All right, so let's talk about some news. Actually, biggest news this week, hands down, is Daredevil. Daredevil.
What about Daredevil?
Yeah, whatever. Shut up. You saw the first three episodes. Daredevil on Netflix. We've got all 13 episodes of the first season up. You were able to watch three episodes before mm-hmm. we recorded. I was able to watch five because I'm just better at life. And because it's only like because between the two of us, we've only seen three episodes completed together. I'm going to try and like, I mean, I don't want to do a lot of spoilers of anything. What's your overall take so far?
Badass. Like that's the one word. That's two words. That is awesome about the show. Like,
it dude, it's
episode two. A lot of people on the internet are talking about episode two, the hallway fight.
Oh just my
that,
God.
That continuous dude, that, like fight. Like
the cinematography in that is literally, you know, for people that don't know me, one of my degrees from college was actually a film video degree. And I'm sitting there, not just as a fanboy enjoying everything that's going on, but as somebody with a film and video background, just drooling over the camera work in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, just fucking ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah, that was a really cool scene. And there's two things that the internet's talk about. That, as well as within the first 30 seconds of the show, you're seeing Matt get the chemicals on his eye. And when his dad runs up to him, briefly, for like half a second, you see an open manhole cover with the ooze dripping on down. Which
That's not the ooze. It was a chemical. It was a chemical spill.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
became the ooze that...
It became the Ninja Turtles, if you guys know your Ninja Turtles lore. But
yeah.
There are a lot of... here's what I'm going to say most. Beyond the story, which is fantastic, beyond the fact that this is definitely R-rated...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
There's some brutality of...
Oh,
the bowling ball,
dude! You don't even know yet. Like the next episode, don't eat while you're watching it. Like it's intense, and I don't mean like camping. So, okay. but no, like there's some really cool stuff in there that there's a lot of fan service that's not over the top. The fact that like his dad. Did you see the episode yet? Where because I apologize because it's been a few hours and a lot of beers
where he fights.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, where his dad gets his chance at the big fight. Well, it's Batlin Jack Murdock versus Carl Crusher Creel. Carl Creel is the absorbing man
mm-hmm.
who you know has already been on S.H.I.E.L.D. or is going to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. whatever it is. So it's just kind of like there's some a little bit of fan service there.
Well, I even like, too, what they were talking about, why Hell's Kitchen, you know, is so shitty is because of
the battles of New York.
Yeah.
Well, and like, the fact that, like, in Ben Gurick's office, there's a newspaper article in the hanging on the wall in the back that has the Battle of New York on it. The fact that they hang out at Josie's, which is the bar in the comic that Foggy and Matt and Karen used to go to after work. You know, it's the little things like that that I really appreciate, that they don't matter to the story, but they took a minute to put it in and make big fucking nerds like me go, aw! You know? I like that. The fact that one of the mob bosses is Leland, and you're like, wait, Leland Owlsley? That's the fucking owl? You know, they put those little things in there. And, you know, while he's not going to be the owl from the comic that's flapping around, he's more of the true crime boss owl that is more akin to how you saw, like, in the End of Days Daredevil kind of thing. It's just so well put together.
Here's the thing, too, though, which part of me cringes when I'm seeing him fight is, oh, that's got to hurt. No, and you've pretty much, he's been put down a couple times, that it's like, yeah, he is still just a human that has,
mm-hmm.
you know, some enhanced extra martial senses. Arts. Yeah, enhanced senses. Doesn't mean that he can heal quickly, which is where it's like, man, he needs to get a little super soldier serum in him or something. Well,
okay, so now I don't know which episode this was, because again, it's like, I mean, I binge watched 5 episodes, but when Claire, who's played by Rosario Dawson, she says, you need to get some armor or something like that, and he's like, nah, it'd slow me down. Did you see the image that was teased for with him in the red costume? Mm-hmm. Reportedly, that's not going to hit till season 2.
Okay.
The red costume. It hasn't hit in the first 5 episodes. But did you notice that has a little bit of resemblance to, like, the 90s version of Daredevil when he had the armored costume?
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of think that, like, I mean, even though that was not necessarily the peak of Daredevil and a lot of people bitch about it, I kind of liked the fact that they've got that out there and that it is there and it's available. And
I really want to start seeing his sonar.
You know, I kind of like the fact that they've shown it just sporadically. I don't know.
I would like to see, though, like a kind of like a big battle, like kind of more just seeing it, even though it's going to be just lines and whatever.
You haven't seen any of it then yet?
No.
Okay, so it must be episode 4 or 5.
Okay.
Where you see it for the first time, because they did show a little bit there, and it's not what you would think.
Okay,
it's not the same artistic interpretation that you expect from that kind of stuff. So, holy shit, yeah.
Would that, since he has like sonar, would that make him better than Batman at being Batman?
Well, it's funny because he is Batman,
just not rich.
Exactly. Well, which is why he's better than Batman. But, I mean, think about it. Okay, for new people, he has no mother.
No, he has no father.
He was raised by his dad, and his dad died when he was young. And then he went to go live in an orphanage.
Sorry, that brings me back to one joke that was in one of the many stories of there was two people. Person was in the alleyway with, give me the pearls or I'm going to make your kid a superhero, was one of the jokes in one of the Deadpool stories. Just like, at first I didn't get that. I was like, you're going to make him a super. Oh, I get it.
Oh, God, that's funny. That's fantastic. No, like, the great thing, though, about this Daredevil series is, you know, I'm making my girlfriend watch it. She loves comics. You know that, but, like, mm-hmm. Like, I'm making her watch this. And it's brought back memories of one time when we were out drinking and she made, like, we were talking about, like, stupid superhero toys from back in the 70s and 80s. And I was talking about the Spider Buggy.
Yeah.
You know, And then we talked about Daredevil, and she goes, well, did Daredevil have a vehicle? And I'm like, no, he's blind. So yeah, the Daredevil car would be fun. Maybe if they bring that. But then it also reminded me, I think we put this up on our Facebook a long time ago, was the first person, like a screenshot of the first person Daredevil, or first person Daredevil game screenshot.
Oh, yeah.
It was just black. But anyway, enough about Daredevil. We may come back and talk about this later. But if you guys aren't watching it, you seriously just go spend $8 on Netflix just for this.
So. All right. Well, something that we were briefly just talking about, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. It looks like there may be plans for a spinoff of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which would be interesting because they already kind of have a spinoff-ish with Agent Carter.
Which they also have a spinoff-ish with, like, these Avengers movies.
Yeah, I've heard talk about them. I haven't seen them yet.
But yeah. Yeah, Age of Apocalypse, I think, is the new Avengers movie.
Yeah, they could pull that in. So there's a lot of speculation on, you know, like Agent Carter hasn't even been re-picked up yet, and it didn't have the greatest reviews. I thought it was really interesting, and I was kind of a critic against it, thinking, how is this going to work out? But I thought it worked out in the overall cinematic universe, telling
Rethinking it was just going to be a cow grab?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cash grab. Yeah.
So people are speculating maybe this will be an Inhumans spinoff show to compete with the new X-Men show that Fox is planning.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
So yeah. A little more mutant going on, mutant Inhuman thing. So not sure, but it, I don't know. I guess more superheroes, the better, as long as it's good.
Yeah. Well, Tony, here's happy news about, you know, because we know that Deadpool's not really dead because he's a superhero in the superhero world. And unless, like we've said 8 million times, unless you're Uncle Ben, you're not dead. Ryan Reynolds tweeted out a picture of him in the Deadpool costume. What appears to be sitting on a toilet with his pants half down, reading the new Deadpool comic that you were reading with the hashtag AlivePool. Which I just thought that was fun. There's no news there. It's just fun.
See, that's the thing. Like, Deadpool, when written well, can be a fun character, not always obnoxious. And I think Ryan Reynolds, with all these tweets and things that he's doing, is really embodying that character into where he's going to be now seen as just Wade Wilson. So I like that.
Yeah. You know what else I think has been really well done? Speaking of things coming from Marvel and movies, have you seen the new look at The Thing from Fantastic Four?
The what?
Come on, Tony. He looks great, doesn't he?
What?
Yeah, I mean, it's the Thing. Here's what I'm loving. The more I'm seeing this, the more I'm looking at pictures of the Roger Corman Fantastic Four, like the original Fantastic Four movie, you know what I'm talking about? The one that was like released?
Yeah.
The more I'm seeing this, the more I'm thinking of that.
Okay.
And I actually can't wait to see this. And you're going to go with me. I'll make you a deal.
Okay.
All right? You're going to go with me, and I'll bring over a six-pack for you and one for me. And I'll pay for the Uber to get there. So I'm paying for the beer and the Uber. You just got to pay for your own ticket. But we're going to go to that show drunk.
It's the only way to watch it.
Yeah. So, but deal?
Deal.
All right. and then we'll have a drunken bitch session recording when we're done. That'll be fun. Okay. Couple other things that came out in the news this week. There's going to be a live action Pinocchio movie. That's actually coming out.
I think that will be cool only if they do the Island of Misfit Toys or wherever he went to. If they do that well. Like, because that was creepy fucking shit from the old cartoon Pinocchio. Like,
well, yeah, I mean, and you gotta have a bumble. You know, otherwise it's, you know, and oh, what the hell was it? Shit. What was the great big, big...
The big white... Yeah, it was a bumble.
Was abominable, it a
bumble? Yeah, abominable snowman.
Abominable snowman, yeah. Yeah. Okay. But no, apparently Disney is truly working on this, and it's going to be scripted by Peter Hedges, who... good job, Peter. I don't know who you are. But anyway, that's not my forte. Quick other note, Molly Mahan is... Or Mahan, I apologize, I'm not real good with this, has been an editor over at Dynamite Entertainment for a long time in New Jersey. She is jumping coasts and jumping companies. She is going to become a new assistant editor working alongside Jamie S. Rich, who we mentioned before, over at DC Vertigo. So congratulations to her. This is just one of the many changes as DC jumps from one coast to the other, which leads me right into
the tweets.
Yeah, DC puts out a shout saying, thanks New York City for being part of DC Comics history for so many years, and special thanks to everyone who's worked here over those years. Marvel just replied simply with a gif of Rocket Raccoon crying.
Which GIF. GIF of Rocket Raccoon crying.
Oh, sure, it's a gif.
Yeah, it's a gift, but yeah. The GIF of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sorry. Just because you created it, if you didn't market it properly for people to know how it's supposed to be said, guess you're fooked.
speaking of Twitter, Jonathan Hickman posted a tweet which makes me super happy. The final two issues of S.H.I.E.L.D. are coming out in September. Now, S.H.I.E.L.D. is a book that me and my brother have mentioned before that really got the whole ball rolling on what all this shit's going on within the Marvel Universe right now. So whether this is a bookend to Secret Wars or not, all I know is the books were phenomenal, and I'm so glad to see that they're actually going to finish it. Because by this point, it's been, I think, 2 or 3 years since the last issue came out. That's a long time where you pretty much that gets shelved and you're not going to ever have that finale, but I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, that'll be cool. And I don't imagine that you'll be tearing up that book when it comes out.
No, why would you tear up a book?
Well, okay, so this came out on April 1st, April Fool's Day, mm-hmm. which, you know, makes people question whether or not it came out, like whether or not it was real. But Dark Horse apparently wanted retailers to rip up their Star Wars number one from Marvel and then send in the ripped off covers, and then they were going to get a variant barbed wire cover in place of this, which I don't know if you saw the barbed wire. It just says, don't fuck with barbed wire, and it's got two guys trying to hold her while she's kicking some other guy in the nuts. And I do like the little physics math drawings underneath mm-hmm. there to show, like, force and whatnot and velocity. But, A, I still don't know if I believe this, because this to me is a potentially a good practical joke.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've kept it going for more than a day. And you didn't say, I'm getting married. But here's where my collecting tip comes in. I'm actually kind of hoping that people did this. But here's the funniest part. They sold 1 million fucking issues of this comic. 1 million. So I'm really praying that this is true, because the less of those issues that are out there, the more valuable mine's actually worth. So remember that when you hear about a great big...
Or if only one person fell for it and it was true, they're the only one that gets the barbed wire variant. That one is also worth a lot. And the other ones aren't, because no one did it.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to see if anybody actually sees one of these barbed wire variants out there, and or actually knows this to be true, please let us know, because I'm curious. I do have a couple other things. This one is just a quick mention. There's a new Daniel Klaus project coming out. The guy that wrote Ghost World, and that he's got a new project coming out in 2016, and it basically just says patience. So we'll see what's coming.
So just be patient till it comes out.
But there's shown like a stack of original pages on his desk. But it says coming in March 2016. And I'm guessing he's probably not releasing it early because he probably doesn't want somebody to steal his work and make it into an independent film and say it was their own.
Okay.
Two other things here, Tony. And I don't know if you had anything else after that. But there's Bryan Singer confirmed that Angel will be in the new X-Men Apocalypse movie. He's going to be played by Ben Hardy. And the picture that he put out sure doesn't look like the feathered Angel. It looks like a hell of a lot more like an archangel. Angel.
Yeah. And that looks pretty sleek.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to that. And that's the thing. If you're going to have you know it's going to be Archangel. They can say all, it's just going to be Angel. It's just going to be Angel. And then the plot twist. Ooh, it was really Archangel. Everyone knows the damn story.
What story?
That Archangel becomes the Horseman of the Apocalypse. You didn't know this?
Spoiler! God, we didn't even tell people that they could skip ahead 60 seconds this time.
Professor X is dead, too.
Who?
Professor X.
I know who that is. That's cool. Yeah. All right. Speaking of X-Men, was it last week we were debating as
yeah.
to... Okay. Yeah, so... Guess what, Tony? I'm right.
No, you're never right.
I am right. I have money to prove it.
Okay.
But Axel Alonso came back after everybody was talking about his interview that he'd done.
And we all know that he lies a lot, so whatever you're going to say is not true.
Sure. But Axel basically tweeted out, "Relax, folks. Everything ends with Secret Wars. But the X-Men will remain an integral part of the Marvel Universe."
Oh, yeah. Like, universe as in multiverse.
No. Marvel Universe. Now, here's where, if you really want to get into it, he capitalized the M and the U on Marvel Universe. Does he secretly mean the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Are they coming over? Are we starting rumors? Fuck yes, we are. So, yeah, I'm glad to see. I was the one that was saying, stop it. They aren't going anywhere. So, that's everything I had for news.
All right. I can then tell you about
the Ant-Man cover?
Yeah, the Ant-Man cover.
Best on tap.
Yep, best on tap. It's Ant-Man number 4 by Mark Brooks. So... I like it. It's a Miami Vice, like, very,
yeah,
very colorful. And I want to know who this character is in the bear suit. Like, you just see the head coming out of the mouth of the bear.
That would be, that's Tubbs.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not Crockett, that's Tubbs.
All right,
wait, it was Sonny Crockett, and what was Tubbs' first name?
I don't remember.
Was it Mitch? Chad?
Yeah, Mitch sounds like a good...
Chad Tubbs. I think Chad Tubbs. I think that was his name. Yeah. So, it was Ricardo Tubbs. Or Rico Tubbs. One of those. Who knows?
I sounds like a Ricardo name.
Yeah. Ricardo Montalban. Dares to play, and guess what? Dares the news. It's all gone. So, all right. Jump on over to the Indy Turnpike. And... Tony, we talked about this book coming out a while back, and Indy Turnpike, I've got Savior number 1 from Todd McFarlane,
okay.
Written by Todd, story by Todd McFarlane and Brian Holguin, and the art on this is by Clayton Crane, and letters are by Tom Orzechowski. This story is interesting because it opens up... Oh, I'm sorry, by the way, this is from Image Comics if I didn't say that. The story opens up where basically you're watching a news story happen. And it's
Feels like they could have really used more of the page there.
Well, I kind of like the way that it works, though. Because if you notice, though, the background of the page, what I didn't notice at first, though, the background of the page is showing this small town and showing how sparse and open it is. And
oh, shit, okay.
Clayton Crane's really utilizing that to show that there's fucking nothing.
I kind of like that, yeah.
Yeah. Like, at first glance, I was kind of like, well, that's weird. Why didn't they? And then I'm like, oh, wait, there's a lot more going on in the gutters of this that really helped tell the story. And that's kind of one of the reasons I want to bring this up is that Clayton Crane, like, Tony, I don't know, did you see him at Motor City? I think it was last year or the year before.
No, I didn't.
I sat there, like, I felt like a weird creeper because he was doing, well, he's a painter, primarily. And so he was working on all these commissions. And I'm not kidding, he was probably working on half a dozen to eight commissions at one time. Because as a painter, he'd get the one color, and then he'd just be like, boop, 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 on this one, did, then do, on that. And he made those noises, too, which that's why it was weird. He didn't. But watching somebody work on half a dozen different commissions at the same time is insane. And I walked up and I just told him, I'm like, I won't bug you. Is it okay if I just stand here and watch? I know this is creepy. And he's like, no, that's cool. And I'm like, sorry, this is weird. He's like, no, that's fine. And I stood there and watched him for probably 15 minutes. It's one of the most amazing things. But yeah, Crane's work, like, it just, it's one of these things where even the splash pages, he manages to draw them in such a way that the action seems to take place beyond the edge of the page, which really drew me in. Because, I mean, you've got artwork on...
He drew you in? Really?
I'm right there. I'm in the background. I'm really far, like, I'm really far away, so it's hard to see. But, no, it's... just gorgeous, gorgeous artwork. This story centers around a reporter who is reporting. I should have said TV journalist is reporting on, but I was like, wait, a reporter? She doesn't
reporting on the reports.
She's journalizing on something.
Sounds dirty.
It sounds like a Tony word. Well, she was journalizing, but. No, she's talking. There was a miracle in this small city in Kansas, where a plane crashed and a man basically walked out of it and seemingly has the ability to heal people. This is a lot of lead up, and it's a lot of great character creation in here and development. But there's some really great dialogue in here from Todd McFarlane. And there's one where this reporter, she was from this small town, comes back and she's talking to her old high school. Some very interesting social commentary. And you know I like social commentary when it leaves it open for interpretation. I don't like social commentary when it's shoving their opinion down your throat. But I like this because she's talking about how media, such as ourselves, don't necessarily tell you what the real facts are and what the news is. Now, we do, but the other news sources out there, they tell you more what you want to hear because you're more likely to listen more often or watch more often because really that's what sells advertising and that's what makes the world go round. But I liked the fact that she talks about just a decade ago, and I'm quoting, just a decade ago, we all had high hopes that the digital revolution would usher in a bright new era of insight and shared knowledge. But the sad truth is, by and large, the internet has made us all a whole lot dumber while convincing us we're smart.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks, like, I mean, it's talking about politics, and it's talking about religion, and it's talking about this belief and that belief. And the thing is, you and I, Tony, have very different beliefs on a number of things.
Yep.
We both think that we're right. Now, I know at some point you will understand that you're not, but in the meantime, you're going to sit there and go to the internet and find the arguments that agree with what you agree with. And I'll go to the internet And I go, wait, I don't need these because I'm right. But but it is interesting to, like, it was really, really smart commentary by McFarlane on here. Really cool book. And for people that are interested in the making of comics, a lot of times in the back of the book we see, you know, the pencils, then the inks, then the colors. This one has the script.
That's cool.
So you can see something in a script format. So if you're more interested in the writing aspect and then how it transfers to that, that's in there. So that's it for Indie Turnpike. I got a little bit more long-winded on that one than I thought, but Savior, number one from Image. Guys, give it a shot.
All right. Booze in the Book this week, brought to you by inkwhiskey.com. Go check out those retro flasks and fill them up with a little booze sometime. This week's...
Or get a lot of them and fill them up with a lot of booze.
Do that too.
Dude.
Or get a whole bunch of a lot.
No. Do. I just had a great idea.
What?
And remind me when we're done with this, we got to talk about Kevin.
Okay.
But no,
on the air or off the air?
On the air.
Okay.
This is great. So what if we made up a bandolier that could hold all, like...
The cartridges?
Yeah, all 10 of their flasks.
That'd be kind of cool.
And then you could have 10 flasks full of booze.
Because that would be over nerdy, but why not?
And they hold, what like roughly 4 ounces? So mm-hmm. 40 ounces of liquor?
40 ounces of freedom.
That's 40 ounces of fun, sounds to me. So anyway, inkwhiskey.com, figure out your own bandolier, but buy a flask.
All right. So this week, booze is Samuel Adams Utopias.
Utopias?
Yep. It's...
Is it... Wait. It's Utopias, not Utopias? Like with a U at the end?
No, it's... Well, it's U-T-O-P-I-A-S. So it's Utopia, but I would think that when...
Utopias. Like multiple okay, of one.
Yeah, Utopia. Isn't that what I said?
You said Utopias.
Yeah, Utopias.
Like Optimus.
Utopias is...
Yeah. All right, so there's this beer.
Yes, it's a special edition beer that's made every 2 years. It's an aged, uncarbonated beer, which resembles more of a fine sherry or cognac. Pretty much there's less than 15,000 bottles per run, making it a highly coveted beer among the aficionados. It sells for $150 per bottle.
I was going to say, I really want to try this. I still really want to try this. Somebody should buy it for me.
What you're going to pair this with, doesn't matter what, any one of the Convergence books. Because if you can afford all those Convergence books, you can afford this beer. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Those books fucking were all over the shelves. And as we said, it's like $40 a week for the next 8 weeks.
It's 360-some bucks to buy all the books.
Yeah. So, like I said, if you can buy all those books, you can buy this beer. So... Perfect pairing for any one of those that you pick up.
Or one per.
That's what I was also personally thinking. But.
All right, Tony. Did you have anything else for Last Call? I had a really short week this week. And the majority of, like, I already mentioned three of the books that came out this week that were really fucking good. And that only leaves me with three more that were really worth mentioning in Last Call for me.
Yeah, I really actually... don't have anything else to mention. I'm too busy watching TV shows and movies to actually read this week.
Okay, well, the new Hawkeye, number two. You know Hawkeye, but Hawkeye. Because okay. Hawkeye is more fun to say, and there's whatever. It's cool new series going on with the Hawkeye. Saga, number 27, which is always good. And Big Man Plans, 2 of 4 from Image. Wow, that took a violent, unexpected turn, which it was already violent and unexpected to start with. So, yeah. That's everything that I got.
All right,
so...
Let's talk about Kevin. I gotta remind
you. Oh, thank you, yeah. So, dude. So, his baby is just now starting to eat, like, baby food.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin found the world's best tiny serving dish... for a baby that's just only eating a couple spoonfuls of things. He's using shot glasses. just a little bit of baby food in there. And he's like, hey, look, there's the perfect size.
So, I can imagine the reasoning how that happened. He's just like, kid, will you stop crying? I got to take a shot of, oh, hey, this is a baby size cup.
Well, my guess is that Kevin's very good with his money, so he probably bought large volume baby food, like the giant jar, and he's like, well, I can't just feed the kid out of the jar, you know, or it's probably the tub. It's a tub of, you know, baby food. So what am I going to scoop out? And he's like, oh, shot glass. Because Kevin is not only very good with his money, Kevin is insanely efficient. And so the smaller the glass, the less things are actually getting dirty, the smaller it is going into the dishwasher.
Does he have pictures up online?
There was a picture of it on Facebook, yes. Oh. It is personal, not on the
fan
page.
Man, that kid's starting off right.
Yeah, it was awesome. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's why Kevin and I are friends right there.
His kid's going to like grow up, though, like going to like a random restaurant, bar, or whatever, being like, food, like wine shots.
Yeah. So, all right. I think that's going to do it this week.
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Grill Chat. We didn't really talk about grills this week.
But next week we die, or no, it's in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks we die.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And then...
spoiler alert.
Yeah. And then like 4 weeks after that, be a brand new number one. So, because it's the Drunk on Comics, everybody loves number ones, right?
Yep.
All right. Keep reading your comics, guys. We will be back next week to talk to you more about them then. In the meantime, hit us up on Facebook, Twitter. Apparently, there's an Instagram. And drunkoncomics.com. See you, guys.